Victory Day. And of course, that kind of refers to Easter, this message. But also want to answer a question. I get asked this question a lot, and you as Christian drivers on the road may, is why do we worship on Sunday rather than the Sabbath? You ever get confronted with that? If you hadn't, you will. And I want to answer that question for you today, not only for you, but those listening on tape, and also give you an answer. The Bible says we should be ready to give an answer, amen, for what we believe. We should be able to give somebody an answer. We shouldn't say, just because, all right? If somebody says, why did Jesus die on the cross? We should have an answer for that. How do you get saved? We should have an answer for that. So today we want to look at why we're worshiping on Sunday rather than the traditional Sabbath. Yesterday was the Sabbath. Everybody agree with that? It was. We worship on Sunday. That's right. We worship celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why we're here this morning. You may not realize that. And being, if you grew up in a traditional church like I did, and of course we always worship on Sunday, but nobody ever told me why. I never asked. You know, why do we worship on Sunday? So we want to look at that today. Turn in your Bibles. I think my page numbers are correct. It should be page 280 in those little Bibles. By the way, those are yours to keep. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. We're just going to look at that real quick. If you want to mark in those, though, feel free to do so. They're yours to keep and take with you and share the word with other drivers. I'm sorry? Page 280. Is it a different page in that one? All right. My page numbers are over then. Revelation 1:17, wherever that is. Somebody find that. Give me the page number on it. Okay, it is?
Yeah, mine too.
Okay, page 280. Revelation 1, verse 17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades, or hell. Notice what Jesus said here. He said, I was dead, but I'm alive. There's no other God on earth, and there's a lot of gods today. Amen? A lot of different gods that people are worshiping today. A lot of different sects. A lot of different groups. S-E-C-T-S. Sects. There's a lot of different groups that people are following today, but none of them, Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, etc., they all died like Jesus did, but none of them come back to life. That's the difference in our Lord and their Lord. I like to serve a living God, amen? I like to know that when I pray, he listens and he responds. You know, I talk to people all the time, and I'm not critical of them. I talk to people a lot of times just to gain information for myself, to know where they're coming from. And one was telling me that he prayed to, I won't say which one, and I just said, when's the last time he talked to you? You talk to him, but does he talk to you? And of course he said, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm glad to say today that God will talk to us. Turn to page 61, I believe it is, Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. We're going to be looking at several different places today, so be ready to turn. Mark 16, that's the last chapter in the book of Mark. And this is going to set kind of a paint us a picture of the Sabbath versus Sunday, the first day of the week. And again, I hope this information will be of some help to you today, as well as for spiritual as well as general information. Mark 16, verse 1 says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Now, Of course, this is after the crucifixion. We know that, right? Jesus was crucified. He was buried in the tomb. And they were going back to open this tomb up and anoint Jesus' body again. Of course, this was before we had the embalming that we have today. They didn't have no way to inject it. They put it on the body and wrapped the body. And that's how they so-called embalmed it. What we call embalming today. Verse 2 says, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise. Notice that. It said one, in verse 1 it says, when the Sabbath was over. So this is the next day, right? They went to the tomb and it said very early on the first day of the week. So to us, that would be Sunday, our calendar. So right here is the whole basis of why we worship on Sunday. Now don't get me wrong, which day of the week you worship on isn't worth arguing about. In fact, I dare say we ought to worship every day.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be a seven-dayer and worship God every day. We should start every day in prayer and worship to God. And we don't have to meet in a group to do that. We can do it privately. If you'll start your day in the Word, I guarantee you your day will go better. I guarantee you that. If you read the Word out loud, pray out loud. And why do I say that? Because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. That's right. Not by reading, but by... So if you don't hear it, it won't build your faith. Isn't that interesting? To me, that is. That's a whole different ball game. We were taught all of our life. We had memory verses in Sunday school, you know, and which is all well and good till you get about this age. Memory verse don't work too good anymore. But I've also learned that whatever we put in our spirit, man, anything you hear goes into your spirit. What you read goes into your mind. This is the mind or the soul of man. The soul is the intellect, okay? We're splitting a hair here this morning, but I want you to see something here. When you read it silently, it goes into the soul or the mind, which can be lost. It can be mixed up with other thoughts. But I've learned something, that when I read it out loud or hear it, anything I hear, the singing we heard this morning, everything we hear goes into our spirit, and it's there forever. For example, I know we've all said things we wish we hadn't said before. Amen? And you can say, I'm sorry, as many times as you want to, but it doesn't erase what you said. Now, the person may forgive you, but they won't forget it, because they can't. They're not capable of forgetting it. The amazing thing about God is, which we'll cover at the end probably, is that He promises to forget we sin. When we confess our sins to Him, He not only forgives us, 1 John 1:9, but Hebrews 8:12 and 10:17 both say that He will remember our sins no more. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
People say, how can God forget? Because He's God. He can do anything He wants to. Amen? He can choose to forget. So He does. I don't know about you, but that was the best thing I ever run across, because Satan's always reminded me of my past. Did he do you that way? You know, always accusing, always condemning, always bringing something up. But you know, when I run across that scripture, which had been there for 2,000 years, by the way, and I finally found it, that He literally forgot that I ever sinned. Isn't that amazing? That's a blessing. So anyway, we want to worship a living God. And here on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, these women were going to the tomb. It says very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll a stone away from the entrance to the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Jan and I have had the honor and the pleasure of seeing this tomb. And I guarantee you, it'd take some kind of work to move that stone, because it's a great, big, huge, round stone, kind of in a track kind of thing. They make a little stone track so that when you roll it, it won't fall or it won't run off somewhere. It just kind of roll over in front of it or roll back away from it. And this is literally a cave hewn out of a rock is the tomb. solid rock in there. And I'm also glad to announce, by the way, there ain't nobody there. Amen? He ain't there. All right, let's go on. They saw that the stone had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Verse 6, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen." Say that with me. He has risen. Greatest three words in the Bible. The reason that's so great is, again, is everybody died. He come back to life. Amen? The only one. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, go tell his disciples and Peter. Notice that. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Now, why did he do that? Anybody know? You know the story of Peter and the denial and all that had just happened, right? That's right. Lost his joy. And we were talking about it the other day. You know, it's got to be, it must have been horrible for Peter to, well, we're going to cover that in a minute, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. Get there in a minute. Get there in a minute. Peter reminds me of Joe Hunter a lot, okay, or vice versa. Very, very apt to jump and think later. Peter was just very impulsive. But you know what? If you've never failed at nothing, you've not tried very much. Amen? You got an option. You can stay in the boat and stay dry, or get out and try. And personally, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat rider. I believe Peter was Jesus' hero, in fact. And the reason I say that is he never quit trying. Now again, just prior to this is when he denied Jesus three times. And Jesus turned and looked at him. When the rooster crowed, Jesus, the Bible says he turned and looked at him. Man, that must have been a blood-chilling thought for Peter. But now notice what he says. This angel told them, "Be sure and tell Peter," he said. In other words, the forgiveness is already there. He hadn't even asked yet. But the forgiveness was already in place, just like it is for you and me. "Tell Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." For three solid years, Jesus taught the disciples. And when he started to leave, they were totally confused. Amen? Just like some of us. We've had the Bible all of our life, and some of us have read it off and on all of our life. But yet, when something actually happens like it said it would, it just blows our mind. Right? I'll go a little further and say, we pray for people to be healed, and when they're healed, it scares us. It shocks us. He really did that. We can pray for rain and it rains and we go, wow, you know. We can pray for good weather and we have good weather and then we go, wow, how about that? And one of our friends, a driver, he says that God says ain't nothing to it. Ain't nothing to it. I can do that every day. He's a God of miracles, folks. He's not dead. He's alive. All right, let me finish this. Verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to no one because they were afraid. How many of us are guilty of that today? We worship here together, and that's great. I'm glad you're here. And I really appreciate seeing people, a driver walk across the lot with a Bible in their hand. That kind of marks you. That does. Amen. I tell churches everywhere we go and do presentation that there's no social reason for a driver to come here. In fact, you lose, if anything, right? You don't gain socially by coming into this chapel. You don't gain friends, so to speak, except Christians, of course. But you may lose some because they see you walk across the lot with the Bible or see you going in and out of the chapel. I'm proud of you for doing that. I really am. I'm very proud of you because it takes a strong person to be different. Amen? Anybody can roll with the flow. I used to tell my son, who was big time into football in junior high school. And I said, son, don't roll with the flow, cause the flow. We're supposed to cause the flow. We're supposed to direct the flow, if you please. I told Jan, I said, you know, I'm so tired of going in restaurants sometimes and you're sitting there enjoying your dinner or whatever, and the people next to you are over here somewhere telling filthy jokes and just laughing and carrying on, which is their right to do in America. But I'm getting kind of tired of sitting there quietly. One of these days I'm going to get bold and stand up in my chair and start reading the Bible just as loud as they're talking. And of course they'll want to throw you out.
Right.
Won't they?
Throw you out.
Yeah.
Them out, you out.
Yeah. However. It's convicting. That's what it is.
You can listen on that CB radio. I mean, uh-huh. We're all a little arguing. The first time somebody brings up God, watch out, they don't shut up.
Well, this is it. See, they're using God in their conversation, just kind of in a negative sense. They're cussing. And that's what I tell them, you know, you quit preaching, maybe I will. And of course, they say, I'm not preaching. I said, well, you're using G-O-D in your sentence, and I use G-O-D in my sentence. Yet you tell me that I'm preaching. Now, who's preaching here? Of course, by then, they're so confused, they don't know what they said. But I love to pull that sometimes. All right, now, we have the scene here in the garden that they have come to the tomb and found that it was empty. And by the way, we read in Revelation to begin with where he said that I was dead, now I'm alive forevermore. That is victory, folks. That is victory right there. We sing a song sometimes, Victory in Jesus, right? My Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me, right? And He did that. He paid all of our sin debt forever. It don't ever have to be paid again. Amen? His blood is that strong. It's paid. Now, here's the victory scene. Let's go back, turn to Matthew 26 with me. Should be on page 37. Let's go back prior to him being arrested and, of course, ultimately crucified. And by the way, the crucifixion scene that we have today, Matthew 26, we'll start reading about verse 31. I'm sorry?
If you have the NIV, it's the King James at the page.
Okay, it shouldn't be any King James out. So, in the seats you're talking about? Right, all of these are. Uh-oh, switch it out. So we'll have the right page number, please. This is going to be the scene prior to Jesus being crucified, prior to him being arrested. And I want us to look at where we are in this picture. Worse yet, are we in this picture? I hope not. Matthew 26, 31. Now, if I get on the right page, it'll work better, won't it? Then Jesus told them, this is right after that. Jesus had just served them communion. He just served them what we call the Lord's Supper. And they went out to the Mount of Olives, and he said, then Jesus told them, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. This very night. Now, watch this very carefully. You will all fall away because of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, now notice this, he told them right here, this is just before they crucified him, right? I'm going to die, and he says, right there, after I have risen. So they ought to know that he wasn't going to stay in the grave. But again, just like us today, when he actually does it, it'll surprise us. We're great faith, aren't we? That's a lot of faith. Let's go on. But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Remember, the angel said he'll meet you in Galilee just like he said he would. Peter replied. Now notice the impulsive Peter here. What did he say? Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. How many times have we been kind of, I call it high on the Lord, you know? Everything going good and we get really religious, don't we? We get high on the Lord and, you know, it's a bright sunshiny day. We got a high paying load on board and everything's running fine. We make God all kind of promises. So you can count on me, Lord. I'm your man. I'm your person. I'm your child. I love you. You know, and I've done this. I've done this right down the road and just, you know, nothing could go wrong today. You know, just happy, happy. Well, things change quickly, don't they? Just about time you pull into the scale. It can change quickly. I know. He said, I'll never turn away. In verse 34, look at what Jesus said. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Now, Peter's got to know this is Jesus talking. But if you notice Peter's life, he'd been known to argue with Jesus. Right? He did. He did. And you know what? I think Jesus appreciated that because he would stand up for what he believed in. Even though he was wrong, at least he would stand his ground. And then, of course, the Lord would show him otherwise and he'd repent. We know that too, right? That's right. You get wisdom. That's right. If you don't ask questions, you won't get any wisdom. But he said, you will disown me three times, Peter. Now, verse 35. But Peter declared, putting his foot in his mouth, right? Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Now, the last little sentence I want you to pay particular attention to. Peter's run his mouth, but the other 11 was used to that by now, right? I can no doubt hear them. By the way, Peter was a very, very wealthy man. I did some study, and he was a very wealthy man. We saw the remains of his house over there, and son, it was some kind of big and fancy. What little bit they've uncovered in the remains, it overlooked the Sea of Galilee. And I don't know about you, but you get lakefront property around here and see what you pay for it, right? Right? Or riverfront. That's high dollar land. And two, you know, I just like to study about Peter. But now, he was also known, like I say, to be impulsive. He was an owner-operator, by the way. He owned his own fleet of boats. Not just one, he owned several. You study that. But he was also, you know, like I say, impulsive. What did he say? He said, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Now, what happened? And all the other disciples said the same. Read that with me. And all the other disciples said the same.
See? They were as good as he was.
That's right. Now, drop down in that same chapter to verse 56. Now, what happens in between these, don't have time to read it. I'll read it when you get time. What has happened now is here comes the army, all these people come into the garden where they were and arrested Jesus and were taking him away. Now again, remember the scene going down the road in your truck and everything's fine and looking good. We're happy. We promised God the world. But now things change dramatically. All of a sudden, the leader is being dragged away. Jesus, who said he was the king of the Jews, who said he was the king, who said he was God, and he was. Amen? Jesus is and was God, the Son. He's not only the Son of God, he's God the Son. Big difference. Because there's people out there today that'll tell you, yes, he was the Son of God, but he was not God the Son. And if he's not God the Son, he's a bald-faced liar. Because he proclaimed that over and over and over. So that takes away his deity completely. And that's something we want to stand on today. He's everything he said he was, and he is today the same. Okay? Drop down to what did I say? Verse 56? Now let's see what Big Mouth says. I could just see Joe Hunter this, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. But I finally got to the point in my life where I don't care what anybody says. Hello? I really don't care. Do whatever you feel is best. Verse 56. Well, let's start at 55. But at that time, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. In other words, I was right there in plain view. I wasn't hiding. But this was all taking place that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled. Now look at the last sentence. Then all the disciples did what? Deserted him and fled. Wait a minute now. In verse 35, Peter and all of them said, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. When it come right down to it, boom, they're gone. You're witnessing on the CB. By the way, CB means Christian Broadcasting, in case you didn't know. Absolutely. Absolutely. A friend of ours coined that. He went home to be with the Lord in July. But Joe Wheeler used to say that. He run about 650 watts behind here. So if he decided to talk about the Lord, he would talk about the Lord, you know. I know that's right. But he'd say, CB means Christian Broadcast. And by the way, no, I won't turn mine off. No, I won't do that. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I'm not going to turn it off. Now, I'm not going to preach on it either, okay? Let's get that straight. Yeah, don't key it up and play a good gospel song because you're just making people mad as real. But now, tidbit. Let me throw this in while we're there. You know, God's last name is not Damn.
And when you hate him and you walk on him, it's not his name.
That's right.
Doesn't need one.
That's right. See, so it's something as simple as saying God's last name is not Damn. And something like that. Of course, now, you know, you don't have to be a bucket mouth like me. When they say something to you, tell them where you're at. I like that. I like Leroy Brown to know exactly where I'm at. See? Because if this isn't true, I need to shut up anyway. Amen? And Psalm 91 says, no harm shall befall you. And that's taken out of context a little, but if you read the whole chapter, it'll back that up. No harm shall befall you. That means that he can say all he wants to, it ain't going to work. Amen? That's right. Here we are now. The mood has changed. Notice in verse 56. Now let me ask you a question. Let us ask us all a question. How does our witness hold up under pressure? In other words, when you're seem like the only Christian at a truck stop, or the only Christian in 500 miles, it seems like, right? You're trying to witness, you're trying to stand up for the word, and everybody and his brother is busting down on you. How well do we turn and run? Do we turn the CB off? Or do we continue to share the word of God? And by the way, your opinion and my opinion is not worth a hill of beans in that case. Just like people say, do you believe that this is a sin or do you believe that's a sin? I don't ever answer that. I'll say, let's see what God said about that, whatever that is. Okay? If you go against that, you're not going against me. You're going against the word of God. Okay? My opinion and a dollar and a half might get a cup of coffee. Okay? Not at a truck show, but it won't get it there. But you see, Jesus' testimony didn't fold under pressure. When they come arrested him in the garden, right? He went right on through the whole crucifixion scene. Why? Why would he do that? I've been born again since December the 19th, 1971, and I still can't figure out how he could love me like that. You think about that. I mean, our mind is not going to pick that up. You might as well forget it. But I've had a lot of friends in my lifetime, and I love that woman back there with all of my heart. But I can't love her the way Jesus loved me. Amen? We don't have the ability. And because I don't have the ability to do that, I just cannot comprehend that somebody would love me enough to do that. In our devotion the other day, it talked about a man that was back in, I think it was World War II, or World War I maybe, where he was called up in the army to serve. And he had some children. I think his mother and daddy was dependent on him. And this other person, this other man went and took his place. He said, leave him at home. I don't have a family. I'll go in his place. And the man got killed in war. The guy that took his place actually got killed. And he went where he was buried and put on a tombstone, "He died for me." Now, I don't know about you, that's pretty heavy. He literally took the guy's place. Well, Jesus did that for you and me. When they come and arrested him, you know, he could have said, "I'm God, you can't do that." But he knew what his purpose on this earth was. He was born to die. The only reason he was born to the Virgin Mary was to die for yours and my sin. In the meantime, though, he gave us a chart how to live. He gave us directions on how to live. There's complete instructions in this book for your whole life. There is absolutely nothing that happens to you and me today or ever will happen to us that's not covered in here. Exactly. And often he said that, right? Often he said that. He never took any credit. He'd always send it back to the Father. Unlike us today. If we don't get our back patted once in a while, we just quit.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
Isn't that sad? I won't mind when I get there. All I want to hear him say, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant." David Ring, what's his name, has cerebral palsy. He said, "One day God's going to pull me out of the oven and stick a fork in me and say, 'Well done.'" In other words, it'll be over then. But we got to understand something. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. In fact, I'll go far enough to say if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So you're not neutral. People tell me, drivers tell me, "Well, I'm just kind of neutral." I said, "No, you're not. There is no such thing. You're either going one way or the other. You're either going to heaven or hell. You're lost or saved. You're not almost either one or barely either one. You either is or ain't, okay?" And Jesus here was willing under pressure to say, "I'm going through with God's plan, what you said. I'm going to do what my Father sent me to do." Page 113 will tell you why. You can probably quote it verbatim. It's John 3:16. Probably the most, one of the first ones you ever heard in the Bible. Amen? And if I may, 106, I'm sorry. I wrote these down. I got an old Bible. I used the numbers. I'm going to have to switch it out, Larry. I've kept it around all these years, the right number, page numbers, and I see it's not working anymore. Yeah, the new print coming in for whatever reason, the page numbers change. And if I may, I want to read John 3:16 to you and paraphrase it. When we go in office supply places where they have computers on display, I put this in the computer and leave it on the screen. Just like this. It says, "For God so loved the world of trucking that he gave his one and only Son, that all truckers who will believe in him shall not perish, but those truckers shall have eternal life." You say, that's not in there. It is in mine. Because when he said, "For God so loved the world," that included me. Amen. That included you. That included the vilest of sinners. I'm so glad that it did. I'm so glad that, what's that old song said, "Whosoever surely meaneth me." And when he said, anyone that calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Did you know that? Anybody, anywhere, at any time, can call on the name of the Lord, repenting of our sins, confessing our sins to him, and we will be saved. Why would he go through the cross? Because he loved us, that's why. Because of his great love for mankind. Remember, he created us in his own image out of nothing, basically. Amen? He loved us so much because we're his creation. If you've ever made anything, you know what I'm talking about. It may not look like much or nothing to nobody else, but if you made it, it's your creation. and it's special to you. Amen. Be it a shelf on the wall or these girls decorating the house, hanging things on. You created that. It's yours. Even something you designed and made, maybe. Whatever simple it might be. That's the way I believe God looks at us. Now, turn to Luke. Well, you don't even have to turn. Another great statement he made in Luke 23:34 is on the cross. One of the last things he said. Turn there if you want to. We want to make sure it's there. Amen. That's why we got the Bible. So we can know that the word that it's there. And I'm going to tell you something about that too while you're turning to Luke 23:34. Is there's a lot of erroneous stuff out there today being said that the Bible says. Gann and I run across some things to make your hair stand up sometimes that people say the Bible says. And if you didn't know the Word of God, if you don't know it, how will you know where it's true or not? Amen? I mean, like now, how do you know I'm telling you the truth? Exactly.
Gotta consider you not telling the truth to check you on out.
That's
and
right.
Once it proves on out, then that's it. Romans 3:4.
Check it out, right? Okay. Exactly. And listen, I don't think Dr. Billy Graham, and I've never met him, but I don't think he'd be offended at all if you had a chance to sit down one-on-one with him and say, where did you get so-and-so that you said? I don't think it'd offend him because he could turn to the Word of God and say, right there it is.
He would love it.
In fact, he probably wish you would, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I know some phony balonies that would get offended if you challenge what they said. But if you challenge what I say and I get offended, there's something wrong. Amen? Listen, I don't mind anybody challenging me at any time, because if I can't show it to you in here, then we need to fold and go home.
I don't think that man
will
have that
actually
have
an old Bible. He could quote it verbatim.
I don't think it is. Him and my aunt, those are the two people my aunt was the most amazing person I have ever seen. She could tell you that woman drank and smoked most of her life. She changed to the point of where you could walk in her house and just tell her first.
Somebody read 23:34 right quick for us. Luke 23:34.
And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
Wow. One of the last things.
He divided his garments and cast lots.
One of the last things he said before he died was in our defense. He was actually in defense of the people that were putting him to death. He asked the Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they didn't, did they?
And he never condemned Peter and never chewed him out or anything like that.
That's right. Never once.
He loved him.
That's right. He always loved him. He always loved us. I mean, Lord, if anybody was going to be condemned, it'd be me or you, right? You could grow up a Boy Scout and never do all the sins we might list, but you're just as lost as anybody. And the good part is the person that went to the depths of sin, so to speak, is no more lost than anybody. Amen? Homosexuality is a sin, but it's no bigger sin than anything else. We tend to list things, categorize sin, you know. Your sin is always worse than mine, right? That's the way we as humans look at it. Well, at least I'm not like Larry. At least I'm not like him, right? No, we're lost or saved, one or the other. And Jesus paid for that. And he was in our defense prior to him dying. Turn to 1 John 1:9. Let's see how can we receive that love. How can we receive this forgiveness? Should be page 272 unless that's changed. That one's right. Yeah, I got 1 out of 10. 1 John over close to the back. Little John, we call it. Chapter 1:9. By the way, I believe the Bible literally. I don't know about you, but I believe he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Just simple as that. Okay? We don't need any great explanation. If he said jump, just jump. Don't worry about where you're coming down at. Just jump. Amen? Now, that's hypothetically, of course, but if he said that, it'd still be applicable. 1 John 1 and 9. Honey, read that for us. If you're there.
If we confess our sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness.
If we do what?
Confess
our sins or repent. Jesus told him in one place, he said, unless you repent, what shall happen? You will perish. Unless you repent, you shall perish. In other words, you're a has-been. There's nothing you can do. You can't work. You can't buy it. Thank God. Amen. You can't buy one little square inch in heaven. I love to tell exceedingly wealthy people who think they're above the law, just like this senator that we heard about that had a whole record of speeding tickets and all that, and he run the stop sign and killed a guy who was a truck driver, by the way, on his motorcycle. Killed him. He thought he was above the law. He even wrote a law in the state, I forget where he's at, while he was governor.
South Dakota.
Excusing DUI drivers. Because he was one. We always want to do that. He did that. That's in place. But I'm glad to say, you know, we can't do none of that for our sins, can we? We can't buy them out. You can buy your way out of trouble these days if you got enough money. Some cases, right? But one thing for sure, one day, every one of us is going to stand before Almighty God and give an account. Amen. If your sins are not covered by the blood of Jesus, then you're in a heap of trouble. We're in a heap of trouble if we got unconfessed sin in our life. Now, let's go. Now, I told you in the beginning or earlier that I want to show you in the Word of God. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8. I want you to see this promise I gave you earlier about Him not remembering your sins. I know you've probably seen it, but I want us to read it together and let's make sure what the Word of God says. I want to be absolutely, positively sure of the Word. You see, I was taught a lot of tradition growing up, and I'm sure you have been too. I was told that the Bible says this, the Bible says that, but I ain't never found it, okay? It ain't there. And don't ever be guilty of repeating what somebody else says that the Bible says unless you know it does, okay? I don't care how much confidence we got in that person and their teaching or preaching, we need to know it come from the source, amen? Been amazing to me to learn some of that. Are you at Hebrews 8:12? Look what it says. For I will forgive their wickedness. We read that in 1 John 1 and 9. He'd forgive us, right? And will remember their sins no more. What a wonderful promise He gave us in the Word of God. Not only will He forgive us, but He forgets that we ever sinned. So we're here today on Sunday morning to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross and rising from the dead. In fact, the cross was when He paid for our sins. He became victorious when He come out of the grave. Amen? Because if He could have died on the cross, went in the grave and stayed there, we wouldn't have had the victory. But on the first day of the week, these women and others, by the way, they went back and got the disciples. And you know, if you've ever studied that, how they all went to the tomb and said, whoa, you know, he's gone. And of course, what did they say? Somebody stole him. Give me a break. He told you he was going to rise from the dead. Yeah, I mean. And even the guard that was placed there, you know, if you've been in the military, to go to sleep on guard duty is an absolute intolerable crime, right? And their superiors paid them to tell people that they went to sleep on duty and somebody stole the body out while they wasn't looking. I mean, that was the extreme they went to try to dissolve or put aside what Jesus had said.
People had to be politically correct even in those days.
Even in those days, that's right. Politically correct meant more than being correct. Truthful, there you go. I like that. We can either be politically correct or truthful. That's pretty good. All right. I want to close by praying a little prayer.
No, they had to be.
What now?
Drinking or someone had to knock them out because of the size of that stone, somebody rolling that stone away, they were hurt.
Well, they were knocked out by the Spirit.
By the Spirit, yeah.
I imagine when the angel showed up to move the stone, they were out of it.
When they said somebody came and stole the body,
yeah.
What, were they supposed to be asleep while they came there and stole it or something?
That's what they said. That was what the story was. They went to sleep and somebody stole the body away.
Too many holes in that one.
They must have been in a dead sleep, hadn't they?
No, they were dead, period.
Well, listen, I don't want to close without giving. I don't know everybody here today, and you don't know me. We may never see each other again this side of glory. But one day, if we're born again, we're going to see each other again. Amen? And I got a feeling it won't be very long. And that's not a scare tactic. It's true. It's absolutely true. We're running out of time. We're on borrowed time right now. Because all the prophecies have been fulfilled. It's necessary to be fulfilled for Jesus to return right now. Right now. That's exciting. We may get out of here today. As Palma said when she was leading us in that song, we may be singing this as we go up. We don't know. It could happen right now. And man, if he's waiting on me, he's backing up. I don't know about you. I want to stay here and do his work as long as I can, but given the option of going to be with him, you can't turn that down. I want you to do this. I want to close with a simple little prayer, and I want you to pray it with me, if you will. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? Now, you may be born again, everyone. You may not be any sin in your life, but for the benefit of those that might be, I want to give you the opportunity. And he said if we confess, he'll forgive us. Once he forgives us, he forgets it. So we don't want to walk out of here with sin in our life. But that's your option. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and simply pray a simple little prayer with me. And in doing so, if you mean it from the bottom of your heart, the best you know how to mean it, he's going to forgive you and wipe it away. And then, of course, you need to get in the Word of God and fill that void with the Word, reading it out loud. You say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't need to pray that prayer. Well, if you're saved, you're saved. That's right. But supposing there's one in this room right now that does not know Jesus personally or not sure. I have a lot of people say sometimes, I hope I am. Well, eternity is too long to be wrong. It's entirely too long to take a chance on being wrong. And we're going to do what the Word of God says for us to do in order to be born again. Now, I want you to pray with me with your heads up and eyes open. I want you to get used to praying out loud with your eyes open. Because if you're going down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. I might be coming the other way in that four-wheeler. And that just don't work out. And don't get on your knees to pray. You can't see me over the dash. So, but you know it's good we can pray anytime. Amen? It's what's in our heart that counts. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart. And help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word. Help me understand your word. Help me to apply your word to my own life. And to share your word with people I come in contact with. Thank you, Jesus, for this day of victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mr. and Ms. Tucker, if you prayed that prayer with us and meant it from your heart today, please call the office and let us know so we can rejoice with you. And also, we have some material we want to send to you to get you started in your Christian life.